A couple of weeks ago, we hit Romans 5:1, and we used that word therefore. And I mean, we carried it all the way to Philippians. And when we got into it, it said peace with God. Now somebody said, peace with God is our standing. And the peace of God is what? Our position. As I couldn't remember that word. I thought about it today, but I thought that was so neat because Romans 5:1, of course, said, therefore, being justified by faith, of course, we know that's the faith of Christ, we have peace with God. By what Christ did at the cross, we have peace with God because of what He did. And then we went to Philippians, and we talked about, well, peace with God is our stance. And then if you go to Philippians, and we went to Philippians chapter 4, and we covered those things about the peace of God, which you hit in verse 7, and how we have the peace of God. And I'll tell you, that when I left, I learned so much more than when I came here to share it. So that was neat, and I enjoyed that. But we're going to cover the other four chapters tonight, and they're not real long, but I think they can be good conversation. Because I believe when you talked about the peace with God's our stance, but the peace of God being our position, and when I think about that, when you read these next four verses, you will see the position that really, if you're a mature Christian, if you're mature in what you believe in and what you trust in, if you're mature in your doctrine, if you're mature, then you'll see your position in these next four verses. And it's amazing how well it fit. Tell you what, real quick, let's go to, of course, chapter 5 and look at verse 1 one more time. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. And we ended with, all of it comes from 5:1, we have peace, and it's signed with God's blood. And I think when you stop here, go to Romans chapter 3 and look at verse 25 real quick before we carry the other verses. And in Romans 3, 25 and 26, let's remind ourselves about this while we have peace with God. Okay? And verse 25 says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His what? In His blood. Okay? To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Of course, we know who He's talking about there. Those in times past that were under the sacrificial program, they had remissions of sins that are past, that they'll be forgiven in the times of refreshing, and then through the forbearance of God. And then in verse 26, it says, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And we know when you say that him that believeth in Jesus, it's not just, okay, I believe in him, because we know that Satan believed in Jesus. But to believeth in Jesus, the issue is the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the forgiveness of sins. Okay? And so we know that. But I think it's important when you see 5:1, go to verse 25 and 26 of chapter 3, how those fit together. And the issue is, they never tried to pay for it. I mean, these people in the times past tried to pay for it, and it didn't work. I mean, no matter what they paid for it, it never worked. They used the blood of bulls and goats. Reminded, is that Hebrews? Using the blood of bulls and goats. And that didn't work. God held their sins in remission, but it never made it to the bank. Okay, because basically it was the blood of Christ and what He did. And that's what 5:1 is saying. Therefore, because of what God did, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that blood atonement. Now look at verse 2. By whom also, so that adds to it, okay, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So we have this access by faith, okay? And this access by faith is what? What's this faith? It's Jesus. We have this access by faith, and that faith is Jesus. So it's not we have access by faith, okay? It's not that we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. It's not access by faith because we tithe. It's not because we've been baptized. It's not because we drove the church van. It's not by anything we've done. It's by faith, okay? Through Jesus Christ, we have access by faith, okay? Through grace, and it's wherein we stand. And that's important because if you're not careful, you'll take that verse. And as I read it the first time and the second time, it's if you're not careful, you'll make it into what you do. And you'll make it into your faith because it says, wherein ye stand. But I believe the issue is not you have access by faith and it's your faith, where a lot of people say that wherein you stand like you've done something about it. But you have access by faith, by the blood of Christ and by what He did, and nothing else, and you need to stand. Your doctrine needs to preach that and needs to teach that. Your conversation needs to be that way. And this is where today, where doctrine is wrong, because people will take that verse and they'll say that, look, it's by our faith and it's by what we do, and we're going to stand and we're going to be strong. And I can remember standing up in churches together and holding hands, and I can remember standing behind the pulpit and motivating a congregation and telling them what you need to do. I mean, I can remember it so vividly, walking out of churches before and people shaking my hand saying, man, that was really good. Or somebody writing me a letter or calling me and said, man, that's what we need to do. And it was amazing what I used to preach here, okay, and how I made it all about what we better do. And I mean, I'm telling you, you just felt like, you would say it was the Holy Spirit came in the church, you know, and you would say, you know, you just feel really good about what you taught or about what you heard somebody teach. And it was like the whole church was motivated to change the world, you know. And it wouldn't take but a day or two, you'd see somebody in your congregation in the paper that either robbed a bank or was a sex offender. You know, it didn't take long for that to be just shut down real quick. Now, I think about that. But anyway, this whole issue, though, that I believe Paul is sharing, is first he says, look, it's the faith of Christ, and you stand. He is sharing that we have to stand. People need to know that it ain't anything about themselves. And then it's all about Christ. And so and the issue is wherein we stand, making sure people know we have nothing to do with it instead. That's got to be hard to get across. It is to me. But if you read these next three verses, you see exactly what happens that has absolutely happened in my life, because I don't have people coming out the door, 400, 200 people coming out the door telling me they want a CD or that. I mean, I have maybe 8. Or 20 at the most, you know, it didn't happen. And this verses, it just made the scripture so much more perfect when I read this thing. And it's not like it used to be, but look at verse 2. By whom also, that also means he's talking about what he was talking about in verse 1. It's with it. It's not like, okay, this happened, and now this. Because it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, if you take that word grace, and so many times I didn't, it's like wherein we stand, we turn it into what we do. You can't do that with the word grace. And so grace proves what I just said. Grace absolutely, that word grace absolutely proves that it's nothing of yourself. Because if it's anything of yourself, it's not grace. And so these things, this verse, if you break it down by the word, it's perfect. So we know this access by faith, that by faith is Jesus, not tithing, baptism, driving a van, teaching. It's not about because y'all are here every Wednesday night either. I know we're about the only ones that are here on Wednesday night. Sorry, I don't do it. Okay? We're faithful because we're enlightened by the word, you know. So it's by faith wherein we stand. Now, in saying that, wherein we stand, to me, I believe if the message needs to get out, it is the utmost importance is wherein you stand. That position that you shared last week that I never thought of, you know. We have verse 1, where that's our standing. But verse 2, our position is to stand by that message of grace. I mean, it's so important. It's the utmost important. So, what you stand in other words, because we're going to hit this word hope now, what you stand in is what you hope in. If I motivate a congregation that's huge like I used to do, to everybody come together, and you could feel good about it. It's amazing. You know what I put my hope in? I put my hope in what I taught. I put my hope in seeing somebody doing a bunch of work now. I put my hope in the congregation coming up to the altar, and they're all saying, I'm going to change, and I'm going to commit my life, and I'm going to do all this stuff, you know. And it's amazing what I used to put my hope in. I used to put my hope in by what I preached, by how the congregation acted. Isn't it? I mean, I did. And so when I read this, I'm sitting here hitting myself and remembering things. But I also used to put my hope in, because I can remember there were a couple of pastors that I knew that, I'm telling you, I would drive 2 hours to hear them speak. Because I'm telling you, I felt like I could just run through the wall. I felt like I could do anything. And I put my hope in their message that it was true. I mean, so where we stand is where our hope is. And today, it's amazing. I get excited about this because I don't put my hope in any of that stuff that never comes out right. Or there's always something that ends up wrong. I put my hope in everything that Christ did. And what's so funny about that is nobody can say, well, you must not be this, or this is going on. You don't have a thing to do with my salvation and my grace and the grace that I have. And that gives you so much freedom. So the question is, with us here tonight, if we know this, and we know it's by the blood of Christ, and we know the grace and the faith is all from Him, and we know everything that we have that is true, that is right, that deals with our salvation is Him, do we stand in that grace message? Not in here. We know we do it in here. Even if I don't, I'm going to act like it in front of y'all. You know, I'm just being honest. There's those days where, but I mean, in all fairness, do we really do that? I think we have to ask ourselves these questions. Because the Apostle Paul has given us the message of this grace, and I think he wants it to be clear that wherein we stand. And if you read 1 Timothy, you'll see many excerpts he tells us in order what we need to do and where our position is. Where we read in Philippians last week, the same thing. When I say that, do you stand in this grace message? The reason I say that is what I hear so much today from other grace believers, whether it's on the website and meeting other grace believers or people here or somewhere else, is, I just wish, you know, I could get my family to understand this. Or I wish I could get my friends to understand this. Or other preachers that we've been in contact with. Or other friends of ours that are involved in another denomination that doesn't preach grace and grace alone or teach it. We always want them to do it, but I find myself so many times being so careful that I miss taking this wherein I need to stand. This great message. So many times we're worried about, because I mean, I've lost so many friends this way that I find myself, well, I'm just going to wait for the right moment. You know what? You can make the moment right. You can just ask the right question. You can just give a praise. You can do it. I mean, and sometimes I think we want people to get it, but I don't know how willing we are or how much sacrifice we're willing to take in order to get the message out. You know, sometimes when people get mad at you, it can be a good thing. You know, there's times where when I was growing up, whether it was dad or mom or a teacher or somebody that told me what I didn't like because I had to change something about it, didn't mean they were wrong. A lot of times we feel like that they're wrong if it's... but that's not the case. Sometimes down the road it helps us. So I come to think that as I talk to people, a lot of times I think we may be cowards. The Apostle Paul was not a coward at all when it came to the grace message. The Apostle Paul's message, if he says to follow him as he followed Christ, I mean, I'm going to tell you what, he didn't have a problem, I believe, stirring up a room wherever he went. And we won't do that. And And there comes a time we may need to look like we're crazy. We may need to look like, well, what's wrong with him? Maybe that's the very thing that they'll remember. You know, and so as I see this, and I see where he says, wherein ye stand, it was so easy when I used to preach it the other way, where I stood, man, I'd fight a bull. You know why? I had 400 people behind me, you know. But today, would we be the same way? We should be, because the message is even better. The message is even easier. The yoke is even lighter. I mean, you don't have to sign up for nothing. I mean, think about it, you know. Isn't it amazing how it seems like we would be the least of a coward? But we're not. And that's what I see in the grace message. It's either we're cowards or it's not our conversation where we usually are besides here. Our lifestyle. You know, I don't know. I found myself when I was very careful in front of my family. When I first grasped this, I wasn't going to just bulldog. I mean, the Word of God says to be gentle, to be tender-hearted. But sometimes the truth hurts too, and there's a way to do things. And, you know, I found myself being a lot more careful with my family now, but now I've just come to a point where I was telling Paul the other day, I don't care. It's just, I am tired of just other things, and we need to be straightforward with stuff, even if it hurts. There's a way to do it. But we can't help if somebody gets mad about it. The message needs to come out. And the question is, does God's Word work effectually in us? That's the question to add. It's God's Word. That's what Paul shared, was God's Word. He said, according to the Scriptures. So, verse 2 has a lot. You know, let's look at verse 2 again. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now here's the last part. If we recognize what we've just talked about, or what I've just talked about, I haven't given y'all a chance to chime in any. It says, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Okay? Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This has nothing to do with whether you've had a bad day or not. You know what? Because when it's dealing with the grace message and what Christ did and everything that He did, it don't matter if you've wrecked the car. It don't matter if there's things physically that you don't like, if you burnt your toast this morning. It don't matter if somebody just cussed you out. It has nothing to do with the fact that you can still rejoice in the glory of God because of the blood of Christ. And because of the faith of Christ. And because of the grace that He gave you. You know, I mean, you realize that? No matter what goes on, we can rejoice in the glory of God. Because it wasn't the glory of God that caused your bad day. What caused your bad day were the circumstances that you're involved in, or this world. You know it? So we can still rejoice. And I've seen people, we talked about peace with God and peace of God. I've seen people with the peace of God that were dying and didn't have another 2 or 3 days left because they knew the grace message. You know why? Because of their position. It's because they recognize it. And they could rejoice in the glory of God. And so I noticed that. Now, in fact, where is our hope? Our hope is in heaven. And that's why we can rejoice in the glory of God. Right? He says here in the end, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Well, our hope is in heaven. We rejoice in the glory of God regardless of our circumstances then, don't we? Tell you what, my job in the last month, I mean, I've taken a cut because I have to. Traffic has slowed down. You know, there's just things that happen, but it doesn't affect whether I can rejoice in the glory of God. I don't rejoice in the fact when it gets tighter. But I can sure rejoice in the glory of God. See, we don't rejoice in the physical circumstances or we're going to be miserable. Now, there's times that we'll really be up. And if you're a believer in the prosperity gospel, this is a perfect example that there's times you don't rejoice in it. And you should. If it's about prosperity, about what God wants to make you here in this world, you'd be rejoicing in the things of this world by the blessings of God of this world. But our hope is in heaven. We rejoice in the glory of God. because it don't have a thing to do with our circumstances. Not a thing. It's the only place that's right. It's the only place that's right is rejoicing in the glory of God regardless of circumstances. Your position, you need to rejoice in the position that we're in when we're in the will of God. It reminds me of Romans 8:18. Go to Romans 8:18. Y'all may think of something as I'm sharing this, because a lot of this has to do with, as I read this, I think of where I used to be and where I'm at now. And so, if you got something that reminds you of, share it. Verse 18. The Apostle Paul says, "For I reckon..." I love that. You never see "reckon" anywhere. It's like Paul was all of a sudden country. "For I reckon..." You know. "For I reckon that the..." I can't help but laugh when I see that. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time..." I mean, I see this King James Version, and I see that word "reckon." I just can't get away. "I reckon..." You don't find that anywhere else. If you do, I don't know about it. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with" what? "With the glory which shall be revealed in us." You know what that is? That's the glory. That's where we rejoice in the glory of God. And it's going to be revealed in us. And it doesn't have anything to do with the circumstances we're in right now. You know. So if you have a bad day tomorrow, you know, it's not easy. If I have a bad day tomorrow, I may not rejoice in that bad day, but I will rejoice in the glory of God that has nothing to do with my present sufferings. If I go in tomorrow and I'm fired, don't have a thing to do with whether the fact I can rejoice in the glory of God. That's a good feeling, you know. That's right. It's amazing. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. There is nothing that I need help in concerning how things are going. Whether things are bad, ugly, or indifferent, I rejoice in the glory of God, because I'm not trusting in this flesh. I'm not trusting in this world. I'm trusting in the message and the grace of God and what He did for me. This is why I don't fit here. You know, I actually can understand where I don't belong. For the first time in my life, we always heard that song, "I'm a weak and weary pilgrim," and you know, everybody, then you have stories about mama, and somebody says, you know, everybody's crying. Never understood that, and always sat there thinking, why ain't I crying? Is there something wrong with me? But the issue is, I actually feel, I believe, what Paul, maybe I didn't experience what Paul experienced, but I totally understand as where I used to be and where I am now, I don't fit. When I read these scriptures and my life changes, I can actually see where I don't fit. And it's easier to rejoice in the glory of God because I'm so confident. I am so confident in what I'm teaching that it's right, because nobody shows me where I'm wrong. Used to, I had people show me where I was wrong and would debate and would say, well, you got that out of the message, but isn't it neat how you can read the same scripture and I get something different? Bull hockey. That's not true. That is just, it is what it is. And you can't get anything different out of it because it means what it means. There's one truth. And I just think it's awesome. That doesn't mean I may experience something that reminds me of that scripture that you may experience different, but it teaches the same thing. It teaches truth. And that's what you got to remember. We don't need to compromise with the world or with religion. We need to stand. And we need to rejoice in the glory of God and not in the glory and the things that happen in this world. But it's all in the God. Look at chapter 5, verse 3. Chapter 5, verse 3 now. He goes, let's read this last part of verse 2 because it all runs together. Okay? "And rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." I don't know about you, but that's nothing I just look forward to, you know, just being honest. But it says, "We glory in tribulations also, knowing," and this is why we glory in it. It's not because we're glad that it's coming upon us and we like the pain or the suffering or the heartbreak, but we rejoice in the tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. It causes our stance to be even stronger and more defiant and more strength. And it causes us to be more patient. As we look, you can follow all the way back in the past, and you can see those men that went through tribulation for the cause of Christ, they became stronger and stronger and stronger. You think of Nero when he martyred those Christians. He gutted animals and sewed people up in them and turned them loose to the lions. He lit them up like candles and poured oil on them in front of the arena. You know what they did? They sang praises. They sang. I mean, it's amazing. They became more patient. I don't know why. I can't explain that part. But it's amazing. I see myself as I mature. Not that I'm Mr. Maturity here. Don't get me. Please don't take it wrong. But I just can see where I've grown. I mean, I can literally see where I've matured in my life. Now, you may not think so, but I know so on the inside. And I also see how much more patient I've become through those hardships. I'm actually at where I used to couldn't stand people that went against what I said, or I would get mad at them, or where I'd find myself talking about them. I find myself now that I actually feel like I love them, and I wish they would get the message. And I finally find myself realizing it's not that they're bad people. They're ignorant. They just don't know because they've never been taught, and they've never rightly divided the word. And I believe that's patience. I believe that's wherein I stand as I go through hard times and wonder why nobody is with me in a time, or why nobody understands, or why this person don't get it, or why somebody in my family can't just grasp this truth. It's amazing. I've more or less become more broken than mad at them. And I used to not be that way. 2 years ago, I had my hate list. I'm telling you. And I'm just being honest. I did. I couldn't stand them, you know. That's a great point. I didn't even think of that. But now that you say it, absolutely. You would start wondering if I would have just gave more to the church.
What did I do wrong?
You know, or Savannah's sick when she was a baby. And I didn't pay my tithes. Not a bit, you know. Because I had a baby and we were broke, you know. But, you know, if we would have just paid our tithes, we wouldn't be going to the doctor and paying the doctor, you know. And I didn't pay them either sometimes. That's why for a while my credit was bad. But there was, you know, tribulations. That is a great... I didn't think about that, you know.
Tribulations here are the ones we suffer for Christ.
That's right. Tribulations here are the ones we suffer for Christ. But it does... I am more patient than I've ever been. You know, and now you say that, and I thought about Savannah. When Savannah was born, man, Chrissy wouldn't let anybody hold her. I mean, if you wash your hands, you know, I can remember when we first had Savannah in the hospital as a baby. I mean, people would come in. You had the list. Some people were not going to hold her. You know, it's just because she's their first baby. You know, we were careful. And with Grant, we're a lot more patient. Take him. Just make sure you bring him back before we leave the hospital. You know, it's hilarious. Another thing, you know, that's total opposite. That won't work. I thought about when Savannah was born. At night, we were showing my age now. At night, or at the end of the day, we could hand the baby back, and they'd take her to the nursery. When we had Grant, they didn't have nursery. I was actually rejoicing in the fact that I'm going to get my one last night of sleep. They never came and got them, you know, so that don't fit at all. But anyway, I just thought that's a funny story. But as you grow in Christ, and as you realize it's by the faith of Christ and by the blood of Christ, it's by nothing you do, and you stand, tribulation's sure to come. I don't think we have a clue on really how bad it could be. I say that, and I think about those who have been martyred. I'm being kind of silly when I say that, you know. But it's more than it used to be. But you know what? It's made me more patient. Because, I mean, that I don't want to make light of it either. It is a tribulation when you lose hundreds of friends. That's tribulation when used to, there was always somebody to call and hang out with that was my age. There was always preachers or youth pastors that you could hook up and do a camp with. You know, and as people tell stories and lie, because they do not want you sharing this truth of rightly dividing. I mean, that's tribulations. I think it's harder on Christy than it was on me or on my family. I don't know if Grant, Grant got a care in the world.
So I went through that. I know what you're talking about, how yeah. She felt. It's yeah. The way I felt. It was like all of a sudden, all the people I'd ever known, yeah. Went away. Where are they?
Yeah.
They didn't want to have anything to do with me anymore.
Well, there, you know, there's recent times where, you try to find, there's a time where I tried to find something wrong with it. Where I, you know, because you can lose so much. But now I can't get away from it. And I've become so much stronger in it. And this is where I stand. And it don't matter. I can
have the friends I've been.
And if people could see that, yeah. If people could just see that when they grasp this message, they wouldn't care about the rest. Because as I've told Christy before, that, I mean, the number one, it showed who was my true friend. Because they took the time to consider what I was saying. Mm-hmm. But number two, those friends that I've grasped are my true brothers and my true sisters in Christ. That understand me and understand, I mean, that stuff is important. And anyway, I thought this was going to be about 15 minutes tonight, but it ain't. But anyway, do we glory in tribulations? This is how I know I rejoice in the glory of God, is because I actually can say that I have gloried in tribulations, because it shows me who I am and why I believe what I believe, and it's got to be right. Or there's no way I'd go through this. You know, and I'm not saying that like I have all the answers. But I'm saying like, I'm so confident when I see God's Word, and I'm so confident in the fact that it was His faith that saved me and what He did. It's amazing how I don't even think about, am I sure I'm saved? I don't even think about, I don't even think about that stuff anymore. It's amazing. It just, I don't know. It's just, it's something else. And I wish those who I don't know that knew that. That are friends or that I know. And I, you know.
We got, where Steve, I guess, first started going down to the jail. And there were two men down there that he talked to and everything like that. They didn't have any money, so the people of the church started buying writing material, envelopes, stamps, all this kind of stuff, every bit of the stuff that, you know, that they would let in the jail, which would normally just writing material.
Yeah.
Not all they let them have. And this guy, he wrote letters to the church and everything else. About what he learned, what he was trusting in, and on and on and on and go. And he had a friend who supposedly learned the same thing from him and all this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got moved. One, the guy that was really firm and stood got moved to Brush Mountain State Park, and where he knows nobody there anymore. And he still writes us and everything once in a while. But even through it all, he has remained true to the Word of God. Well, the other guy, they let him out of jail. And 2 days later, he robbed a convenience store and was back in jail. So what did he get out of it? Two different people, two different guys, both of them heard the same thing.
Yeah.
One got it, one didn't.
That's right. That's it. And I hope he's at Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary. Not State Park. I'm kidding, but that's and that's so true, though. I mean, it's so, you know who gets it. You know. Doesn't mean we don't mess up again. I don't know that he just accidentally robbed a convenience store, but, you know, when I got this, I could not get away from it. I mean, I could not get enough. I would have ate with Steve every day. I mean, I would have ate lunch every day if I could not get away from it. You know what's so funny? Today I find myself, when I study the Word, it's just amazing what things I learn. And I tell you what, I could miss a day. It's amazing how that desire I find something else to be busy about. You know, and this is why it's important. We surround ourselves with this stuff. And I tell you what, if we didn't meet like we do, I would be much more lazy. But that's with anything. You know, I had one guy say that, well, believing this way just made me lazy. And I thought, you know, whatever you don't do makes you lazy. It doesn't matter what it is. You can be lazy. You know, it made me more hungry. That's what it did for me. That's it. And that's it. One word that I thought was so important here, before we go to verse 4, where he says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work with patience. Guys, that knowing, yep. When you know, then it doesn't bother you. When you don't know, it bothers you. But now, when I know what I'm doing and I know it's worth it, it's amazing how I know what it's doing. I know it's the right thing. So I think the key word there is knowing. Look at verse 4. Notice the progression. In patience, experience. And experience, and there's that word, hope. Notice the progression. The first word's not very good, tribulation. Okay? But it brings and reminds us of what? Hope. Hope. Not a hope, not like, I hope so, I hope I'm right, or I hope this is the way to do it. But this hope is, it's a knowing. This hope is knowing. I put everything in it. If I lose my family, if I lose my life, if I lose my friends, my hope, and I can actually say it for the first time, my hope is in the hope of Christ. And I could always say that before, but I never meant it like I mean it now. And that's because through the tribulations, okay, it brought patience. And through that patience, because I had to be patient, and I have to continue to be patient, for those who don't know this message, and those that may not like what I'm sharing, or those, you know what it's brought? It's brought experience. I've matured. And that experience, through my experience, and through I know probably what's going to happen with these tribulations and this patience, okay? That experience is what gives me my hope. Because of what I know, because of my maturity, my hope is so much stronger now than what it was 2 years ago. That doesn't mean I wasn't saved 2 years ago, but because of my tribulations, because it's made me patient, because it's matured me, I'm just that much stronger to where I feel like I would risk even more. That is a great feeling to know at all costs. I mean, if all I had left was hope, well, I don't know. No, I'm kidding. No, I mean, but honestly, that's a question, and that's something to start your life with, not with the peace with God, but the peace of God. You can see your position in this. Does that make sense? You can see the position of where you're at.
I've heard that hope described as certainty with pleasure.
That's good. Certainty with pleasure.
Certainty with pleasure. You know it's going to happen, and you're really happy about it.
You saying really happy about it made it really hard for me just then. I'm kidding. That's good. Notice the progression from tribulation to the hope of Jesus Christ. What it does more than anything is once again, it keeps me from counting on anything I can do. That faith by faith, it just proves even more it's not by my faith, but it's by the faith of Jesus Christ. I think it just perfects it. It just makes it perfect, you know. And that's good when things are bad. It ain't because you're doing something wrong. Well, it could be. The consequence. Well, let me change that. That's good when things are bad. You're not being punished. God's not punishing you because you did something wrong. That's called consequences. For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That Romans 8:1, I believe. I mean, you know, that ain't the issue. That is not the issue. Brady's going through a tribulation right now. I don't know that he has much hope either. If Chad was my dad and I looked up at him, I would not think there's much hope left. Anyway, notice the last word in verse 4 again. In patience, experience, and experience, hope. And that's where the hope of the glory of God. That word hope is huge. It's the same as verse 2. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Well, how do you do that? Tribulation, patience, experience, hope. Hope in you. Hope in the glory of God. That's so neat. How the word fits there. And it gets there by being patient and by having experience. Now, this one guy, I can't remember who it was, said, what happens to you in life isn't as important as to how you respond to it. I think that is just really good. What happens to us in life isn't nearly as important as to where you stand. And you'll stand if you have hope in the glory of God. You'll have hope in the glory of God if you're mature. And you're mature if you become patient. And the reason you were able to become patient is because you stood and you faced the tribulations. Every one of those words fit just like a puzzle. When I heard that, that's what I thought of. So, you know, what happens to you in life isn't as important. I wish I could think of those slangs and somebody would say that. I remember Paul Allen, but no, I stole this one. How you respond to it is based upon your strength of the inner man. Not your strength of you. But how you respond to it is based upon the strength of your inner man. The strength of the Holy Spirit. Whether you trust in the Spirit or whether you trust in those things of the flesh. I just think those are two great... I can't remember who said it, but they were smart. Look at verse 5 and we're done. Here we go again. And hope maketh not... Look at that word. Hope maketh not ashamed. Well, you know where that takes me. 2 Timothy 2:15. There is no reason for us to be ashamed. When somebody asks us about Scripture, about the grace message, about the hope of Christ, about why we go through tribulations, about how we handle it, about how we're so mature about it, you know how? We can give them the answers because we're not ashamed. Because we study to show ourselves approved unto God. The workman needeth not be ashamed. Rightly divided word truth. It goes all the way back to 2 Timothy 2:15. That's why that verse is so important. That verse is extremely important. It all fits. Verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, wherein we stand. It all fits, so everything I've taught. It's shed abroad in our hearts by what? By that inner man. By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This is good stuff. I mean, it's just, it's good stuff. And it's not hard unless you wrongly divide it. And I'm going to tell you what, wrongly divide it and find out you're wrong, that's why you're ashamed, because you didn't rightly divide it. And I'm going to tell you what, if I'm so glad now I am not ashamed that when I study it now, when I'll go home tonight, I'm not going home like I used to thinking, I wonder what I said and what the preacher heard. I wonder if I said something wrong. Or I wonder, all it is Scripture. It's perfect. His words, I haven't shared anything that I think. I just share what the Scripture said. You know, it's what it says. So I go home tonight confident, not one bit ashamed of what I've shared. I don't even worry about, you know, if I really don't need to worry about if I said it wrong, because one of y'all going to correct me anyway, usually. And that's okay, too. But this is good stuff.